It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be a neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? My neighbor, glad to be with you. Did you see those things that I brought in with me? These two pole-looking things? Well, they're really oars to a rowing machine. Yeah, Marlon Barnett loaned this machine to me, and I wanted to show it to you. Yep. See it? I'll put these on. She told me how to do this. Now, let me see. This goes in like this. There. See? And then this one goes over here. There. And you sit on it. And she said, you strap your feet in here, like this. So your feet won't move. And then you just row. She said, you just start to row. See? Nice, huh? Did you ever try rowing on one of those rocking boats, you know, that go like back and forth like that? Yeah. Well, this is sort of like one of those because it's a boat that doesn't have any water around it. Yeah. It feels good. You know, some children live near lakes and rivers and oceans, and they go on boats a lot. I like to do that, too, whenever I can. I think I'll just close my eyes right now and imagine that I'm rowing a real boat someplace. There's somebody at the door. Oh, it's Marlon Barnett herself. Hi, Marlon. Come in.
Hi. Did you get the rowing machine together?
Well, I think it's right. Come and take a look. I put these oars in the way you suggested.
Right.
How you get on it. Show me how you work it, will you?
Oh, I probably work the same way you do. I use it to exercise my legs, my arms, my back, and my shoulders.
I could feel all that while I was...
When my legs are bent, my arms are straight. And then when my legs are straight, my arms are bent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people need machines to exercise, and others don't. And both are okay. Would you like to do some exercises?
Sure. Are they big ones that we'd need to go outside
for? No, we don't need much room.
Good.
We can do them right over here.
Will you try with us?
We can even pretend like we're on the rowing machine. We can pull this arm is pulling this way, and the left arm is pulling to the left. So we pull, and then we reach to our toes, and pull, and reach, and pull, and then stretch up. Reach up to straighten our back. And now, bend our legs. One, two, three, four. Let's try it one more time.
Okay.
One, two, three, pull, and then one, two, three, four, and then up, two, three, four, and then bend, straight, bend, straight.
I can really feel that.
Well, I just stopped by for a minute to see if you got the rowing machine together. I have to run.
Do you need it for your class?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I'll bring it to you later then.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Marlon.
Bye now.
Bye, have a good day. Marlon Barnett, our friend. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that, you know. She said, when your arms are bent, your legs are straight, and the other way around. This little thing reminds me of the trolley. Let's get the trolley and have some make-believe, all right? Here it is. Remember yesterday, Prince Tuesday was playing with that hammer that he likes so much, right near the statue that his father likes so much. Let's pretend that Prince Tuesday breaks that statue, and then we'll just talk about it afterwards, okay? Neighborhood of make-believe. Tuesday, what are you doing with that hammer? Oh, you've broken my great-great-great-great-grandfather's statue.
Didn't mean to. I wanted to be a sculptor. Don't hit.
I'm not going to hit, but I am angry. I mean, really angry, Tuesday. Oh, honestly. Whoever told you to take that hammer to that statue is just inconceivable.
What's happening?
Prince Tuesday broke my statue.
Didn't mean to.
That happens sometimes.
You're a magician. You can fix it immediately.
If I put it together magically, Prince Tuesday wouldn't have any time to understand his tears.
Understand his tears? Well, take a little time, but it must be fixed in 1,313 seconds. I shall return.
Your daddy likes this statue, Tuesday.
Tuesday does, too. Mrs. Neal used a hammer to make it.
She knows exactly how to do it. She'll teach you someday.
I heard that Tuesday smashed the statue.
He was trying to pretend that he was a sculpturer.
Well, let's fix it for him. Listen, kid, I've broken lots of things, and things can be fixed. How about some glue? Do you have any glue? Now, that's what I call good work. Now, take the glue and put it on a piece in the statue and stick it together. Now, when he does it Tuesday, you press it. Whenever he needs it, I mean, you press the piece right to it. That's good. He'll help you. That's it. Good for you, Tues. Good for you, Tues. You see, that's going to be just fine. Friday! Friday, come out here!
You called?
Look at your statue, Friday.
Who fixed it?
We all did, King Friday.
You all did. Well, very well then.
I want you all to come inside.
Don't want to.
You needn't be afraid, Tuesday. I have hammers and all sorts of things in the pounding room where we can all pound and not have to worry about breaking.
Well, Friday, that's a real sweet idea. As a matter of fact, you have some really sweet ideas with all those others.
Come along.
We'll all have a chance to pound a bit.
Yes, we will. Come along.
Come along. Come on, Tuz. Come on.
Let's just talk about that. Prince Tuesday was really sad and frightened, wasn't he? He knew that his daddy really cared about that statue and that his daddy was angry. Did you hear him tell the king, "Don't hit"? He must have been afraid that his dad would spank him. Do you suppose King Friday does spank sometimes when he's angry? Well, Lady Elaine seemed to understand about mischief and how people feel afterwards. She told Prince Tuesday that she could remember breaking things herself. Yeah. But did you notice that when the king told the little prince that he was angry, then afterwards, Prince Tuesday didn't seem so much afraid anymore? Wasn't that a good idea that the king had, to set up that pounding room so that everybody could go pound when they wanted to? You know, most children are very interested in hammers and other tools that their grown-ups use. But if you want to use a hammer, you have to have a special place to use it. All that hammering, pounding reminds me of the Elves and the Shoemaker story. Here's one here. I'd like to read it to you. It's called The Elves, the Shoemaker, and the Shoemaker's Wife. Once upon a time, in the town of Latrobe, there was a shoemaker. His name was Sam. Sometimes people called him Poor Sam Shoemaker because his business was so poor. When he had enough leather to make shoes, he would often give them to children who didn't have any. Sam had a wife. Her name was Charlene. Whenever Sam was sad, Charlene would tell him the good things about himself to try to make him happy. "You're the best shoemaker in the world," she would say. And she would also say, "You're the best-hearted man in the world." Charlene Shoemaker had a job making television commercials. She didn't like making television commercials. She would rather be home helping Sam in the shoemaker's shop. She was a very good shoemaker, too. But business was very bad, and nobody came to buy shoes. One night, Sam Shoemaker said to his wife, "Charlene, I think we'll have to give up our shoemaker shop." He showed her two pieces of leather. "This is all we have left, just enough for one pair of shoes. I'll make them tonight so we'll have something for tomorrow." "I'll help you," his wife said. "You know how much I like to make shoes, so much better than that other work I do." It was late and they were tired, but they started to work anyway, cutting the leather and getting it ready. As they worked, they were yawning, and before long, they both fell asleep. During the night, two blue elves came to the shoemaker's shop. They saw Mr. and Mrs. Shoemaker asleep and thought how tired they must be. So they started sewing the pieces of leather together into a beautiful pair of shoes. When Mr. and Mrs. Shoemaker woke up in the morning, the elves were gone, but the shoes were there, right on the table. Sam said, "What beautiful shoes you made, Charlene." Charlene said, "I fell asleep. You must have made the shoes." Sam looked closer and closer at the shoes. And finally he said, "This looks like elfin thread. These are very special shoes." Just as he said this, somebody knocked on the door. Sam opened it, and a very rich gentleman came in.
"I need some very special shoes."
So the shoemakers showed him the only shoes they had, the ones the elves had made. The shoes fit, so the rich gentleman gave Sam 87 coins for them, and he said, "Goodbye." Well, the shoemakers were thrilled, and they used the 87 coins to buy more leather. And that night, the blue elves came again and made 12 pairs of special shoes. And the next day, 12 people bought them. And the shoemakers bought even more leather, and the elves came a third night and made 24 pairs of shoes. But this night, Sam and Charlene Shoemaker watched the elves from their room. Just before morning, they tiptoed out to the workshop and said to the elves, "Thank you for your help, elves." The elves were startled. The shoemakers said, "Won't you stay and live with us, and we can be shoemakers together?" The elves looked at each other, and then they looked at the shoemakers and said, "Sure, we'd like to stay." So they all lived and worked and sang and played in the shoemaker shop, and they weren't poor anymore, because many people came to buy the special shoes. And Charlene Shoemaker was able to work at the work she liked best, and Sam Shoemaker was able to give and give to his heart's content. That's the story of the elves, the shoemaker, and the shoemaker's wife. This one, the pounding and all, those were blue elves in that story. Do you remember the brown marionettes made green elves for their marionette story? Why don't we go over there now to see how they're coming along making those other marionettes for their story? Come along to the Brown's Marionette Shop. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Fred.
I've just been reading the story of the elves and the shoemaker and the shoemaker's wife to my television friend, and I just wondered how you were coming with things here.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're working on the shoemaker's wife right now.
Oh, is this she?
Uh-huh. You didn't see her yesterday when you came by the shop.
No. She looks different from the shoemaker's wife in the storybook, doesn't she?
Does she?
Yeah,
well, you know,
I like her.
We've got a sketch right here that we did, and this is what... You know, we
did you draw this?
Yeah.
Oh, you thought of her.
Right, we drew this first,
I see.
And then made the puppet. You know,
really
I think
nice.
People have different ways of visualizing a character in a story, and we thought she should look like this.
And so,
so
she
there
does.
She is, right.
For your marionette show.
Uh-huh. I'm going to pin her scarf on. I was trying different colors here. See, the thing that's tricky is we've got to make sure that we don't catch her clothing in the strings. So that we don't
I
have
see.
Any trouble, so we'll put a little... under her chin right there and over the shoulder, and then I think maybe an apron. There we go.
Can I help you?
Uh-huh. We'll just tie it around the back. Okay.
Oh, hi, Fred.
Fun. Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
He's all finished.
Oh, the shoemaker.
Isn't he fantastic, huh?
He's great.
Yeah, we just finished him right now.
I've just been reading the story of the elves, the shoemaker, and the shoemaker's wife to my friend.
Oh.
And the shoemaker in our story had a mustache. Yeah, like that.
Listen, I have
He's
an idea. Would you like
made.
To work Come
on. Of course, I'd like to try.
Come on up on the bridge here. You hold him.
Okay.
With this
See
hand.
You later, Bob.
Okay, Judy, and I'm going to stay right here and finish this up. I'll be done in a minute.
Okay, and then hold the control over there so it doesn't get tangled. That's right.
Fine.
Come on up on the bridge, all right?
Sure. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Dallas.
Dallas, did you try these blue shoes on?
Here? Yeah, the blue ones are much too heavy.
Are they too heavy or too big?
Both.
Oh, all right.
Judy said I could try the shoemaker here.
Oh, great.
There you are.
There he is.
Give me a little help.
Sure.
Who is that you have?
This is Hans. And Hans is the little boy who starts off the tale, basically. He comes to the old shoemaker, and it's the middle of winter, and it's snowing, and he needs a pair of shoes. But he doesn't have any money. So the old man, out of the kindness of his heart, gives him a pair of shoes.
I see. Could you show me how to make, how would I make that move like that?
Oh,
right?
Oh, it's very easy.
My
first,
goodness,
I think
oh,
it's
I've got it even tangled in my watch. You know, this is not easy to do. No, it's hard.
How about this, to make him sit down?
Yes, how would I do that?
Well, use the top bar here and walk him backwards to the stool. It's much easier than turning him around.
Mm-hmm.
Then put your hands around both bars and use your fingers to pull both of these back. Oh,
like
you gotta keep him down on the floor.
Oh,
now,
that's
he's
hard.
Flying. And now slowly lower him down until he sits on the bench.
Keep going. Keep
one
going.
More.
Down, down.
That it?
More? More?
Even more?
There he is. There he is.
Now he's relaxed.
It takes so much practice to be able to make marionettes move. Oh, look how you can make his head go like that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somebody's right behind you.
Hey.
There's Mama. Judy, why don't you come
Mama.
Up here and take
you.
Mama for
yeah,
a minute?
I'm anxious to try her
yeah,
out.
And see how you think she works after I put the scarf on her.
Who does Papa's voice?
Oh, I do Papa, so we'll...
You want to do that?
Sure. We'll take him right here.
Let's
see how you think that
feels.
Let's try
her. Okay. How does
it feel?
Oh, she's fine.
Good?
Yeah,
okay.
She's fine.
Here's Hans
okay.
over here.
Hans!
Hello.
Why, Papa.
Yes, Mama?
What is Hans doing here?
Oh, I just gave Hans some shoes, Mama.
You gave the shoes away?
Well, he's very poor.
Oh, Papa. You're a good man.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Shoemaker.
Bye. You're welcome, Hans. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Hans.
There we are. She works very, very well.
Good.
I like those characters.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any music for the characters? I mean, for the play that you're going to do Friday.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Costa is going to be doing the music
for
it. We have music for
the elves.
You know, it's because they're very bouncy. And
boy, are they ever. I remember them yesterday.
And
we can use more, though, I think.
What about the wife and the shoemaker?
No, they don't have a song.
I'd like to try to write songs for them.
Would you?
Sure.
Great.
Gee, that would
That'd be
nice.
I mean, I really like this, Papa.
Wouldn't that be nice to have songs for them also?
Sure.
I think that would be just terrific.
I'd be glad to try.
Great.
What is that thing that you were just moving there?
Oh, Bob.
This is actually the inside of the cottage.
Oh, you mean the scenery?
A large painting, yes.
Yeah, let me get over here and help you.
Okay.
I got you.
Come in here. No, take the puppets. All right.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Ta-da!
Great.
Instant house.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to see upside down. Why don't you go down and take a look at
all right,
it, all
I will.
Right?
Excuse me, Dallas.
Mm-hmm. So we can put the rest of the furniture in.
Okay. There we are.
Is there a work table?
I really like that. Look at
we'll
that
have
with
some
the
more
cuckoo
furniture
clock
later.
Up there and the window and the lantern. Hi, shoemaker. Hi, Mrs. Shoemaker.
Hello, Mr. Rogers.
They like to make their shoes. Well, I'll go off now and work on those songs.
I work and I save and I do what I can.
I do what I can too, Mama.
Well, I'm going to do all that I can for you all. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Come along.
Thank you.
have any music writing paper here or not. No. Probably have some at my real home. And I'll bring it to my television home here tomorrow, and we can work on some of those songs. Yep. Better take this apart. Take it to Marlon Barnett. Because when you borrow something, you take it back. There. See how different their story characters are? But that's the way it is with creative people. You make up your own notions. If you would draw stories to the elves and the shoemakers, if you would draw pictures to the elves and the shoemakers, then those pictures would be different from anybody else's. Sure. Because they'd be yours. I'll be back to visit with you tomorrow. We'll think of more things and do more things together. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy today. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. I guess you know by now that it doesn't matter how you exercise. With a machine, without a machine, it doesn't matter. I like you just the way you are. Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
To make this television visit are the people of the Sears Roebuck Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.